coming up next on KELB, Church and State, with your host, Nathan Curtis. In the first segment of Church and State, our guests are church pastors, Christian laymen, and leaders, keeping you up to date on what's going on in the local Christian community. In our second segment, we bridge the gap between church and state with guests who represent local government, local businesses, educators, or other special guests who will keep us in touch with what we, the people, need to know and what we can do to be responsible citizens of our government. Our aim is to present the Christian viewpoint on the affairs of the state. Now, with our first segment of Church and State, here is your host, Nathan Curtis.
All right, and good morning and welcome to Church and State. This is Shane Kassler. I serve as pastor of Heritage Baptist Church here in Lake Charles, and I'm filling in this morning for Brother Nathan Curtis. Usually if you tune in at this time, it's Brother Nathan and his co-host and his guests, but Brother Nathan is on the road this week. He's traveling, and so I'm filling in for him today, and also on Thursday, which is my normal co-host day on Thursday mornings. But I'm in here today as well, filling in for Brother Nathan, and I think we have a special treat for you today. At least it's a treat for me. Our guest in this first hour is going to be Pastor Ron McKinney. Many in Lake Charles are familiar with the McKinney name, perhaps not only Ron, but also his father, Don McKinney. His father, Don McKinney, was the founding pastor of Heritage Baptist Church, where I pastor now, and we've kind of had a bit of a celebration this week as we remember our own church anniversary. It was on March 3rd, 1970 that Heritage Baptist Church was founded, and so typically this week every year we will kind of stop and remember and celebrate that, God's faithfulness and His hand, a blessing upon our local congregation. And it's also March 23rd, I believe, of 2009 marks the anniversary of Pastor Don McKinney's homegoing, whereby he left this world and entered his heavenly home. And so we typically think about that and remember him and his family at this time as well. And so I thought this morning, since Brother Nathan's out of town and I'm hosting, I thought, well, maybe I would talk to Ron McKinney and we'd talk a little bit about the founding of Heritage Baptist Church, the early days of that, the ministry of his father, Don McKinney. And also Lamar McKinney, who was Don McKinney's brother, a very special relationship that they had with each other. And Ron will share more of that with us as well. Ron, are you there?
I am here, sir. Good morning.
Good morning, Ron. It's good to hear you. Have Brother Ray turn up the volume just a tad bit there.
Very good.
There we go. Now I hear you.
A little better.
I hear you good. I hear you good.
Wonderful.
And Ron McKinney, for those who don't know, many might know him because he is a native of Lake Charles. And if you followed high school basketball back in the 1960s, Ron was playing for LaGrange and leading them to many victories on the court. But he also now, today, serves as pastor of Kinsey Drive Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia, has been there for many years, and frequently comes back to the area. Comes and visits us at Heritage Baptist and comes, I know, on occasion to visit other friends and family in the area. So, Brother Ron, it's good to have you on this morning.
Oh, I'm pleased to be with you, and it reminds me so much of my days in Lake Charles. The weather report's 66, the humidity is 78. And I remember days when the humidity would be in the 90s, and you'd walk out the door, and the first thing that happened is you just perspire. You couldn't help it. It was just such different kind of weather. But I enjoyed growing up there, and I have many friends there. And I especially have a love for Lake Charles because of the people there who have been faithful to seek God and to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. The years spent there were years of learning something of what it is to glorify God and to know who Jesus Christ is. And we moved there, Shane, in 1952. And if I may just tell you a little background about Dad before coming to Lake Charles, he was converted in 1938. He was 17 years old. And he had one of the most remarkable conversions, I think, because immediately his life was about face. It was a change. He forsook things that he had loved and sought after things that he had not known of before. And the Word of God and Christ became paramount in everything that he wanted to do. And his family reacted to it because they were not Christians. And they didn't understand. And even persecution came. I know Dad was persecuted by his father. He beat him up one time, told him, "I don't want any of that religion in this house anymore." Mm. And Dad would take time to go into the closet at night when everyone had gone to bed to read his Bible, because it became so precious to him. You know, when God comes into your life, there's something that changes. And that's what happened. And he wanted to preach the gospel, and God called him, and he took out and he went across America. Had no money, but he had the Lord, and met my mother in 1942, and they married. And I came along in 1944, and we were living in in Alexandria, Louisiana, First Assembly there. Dad was the pastor, and my brother Laurel Ashbrook, pastor friend, had been pastoring there in Lake Charles, and recommended that, and he came there in 1952. My sister was just a baby, and my brother was 4 years old, and I was 8. I went to T.S. Cooley Elementary School. It was a blessed time. But something happened during the time we were there, and that is my uncle that you mentioned, Lamar. And Shane, if you want to interrupt me, go ahead, but I was going to just give you a little background of him, because he plays a very major part in what God did in bringing about Heritage Baptist Church.
Yeah, and that's really what I'd like to do, Ron, and I'd mentioned this to you earlier, that I'd like to not only hear in terms of your dad and his background, but also Lamar, because they had a very special relationship, and not only in terms of testimony and how the Lord used both of them in each other's life, but even how the end of their life came very close in terms of time.
Place is that, Lamar was 14 years younger, and when Dad left home at 17, he was only 4 years old, or 3 years old. So it was there was a big gap there, and he didn't have opportunity to really get to know him. But later on in life, and what happened was, Lamar was a very tenacious person. He was somebody, if he did something, he did it with all of his heart, and whether it was good or bad. Mm-hmm. And he got exposed to a lot of things, and was not in church, and did not know much about God at all, but he got in trouble. And I remember my dad, I was 12 years old, and my dad said to me, he said, "Well, Ronnie," he says, "we're going to go to California." He said, "My brother is in trouble, and Mother called me. And he said, we're going to go out there." So we the whole family went out there to California, and we were waiting for the trial. And briefly, I can just say, God intervened, and Dad went to the trial, and he spoke to the judge. Remarkably, the judge said, "I don't know why I'm going to do this. I'm going to place him in the care of you, and out-of-state probation." And he came back with us. Well, now, we had a very, very quiet life. Mm-hmm. We didn't do much of anything other than we did play ball, my dad and I. But, you know, Lamar came into our home, and he was miserable because it was just a different life. But he was there for 11 days, and on a Wednesday night, the Spirit of God came upon him and drew him. I can't help but refer to John 3:8, when it says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth," mm-hmm. "the sound thereof," and he says, "You don't know where it's coming or where it's going." And then he says, "So it is with everyone that is born of the Spirit." Mm-hmm. And God did something in his life that night. And after he had prayed and asked God for mercy and forgiveness, he handed the Bible to my dad, and he said, "Teach me. For here are two brothers that barely knew each other, and all of a sudden, there was a new life, and there was a new relationship. And Dad taught him all night long, and Lamar started on a journey which he studied the Scriptures day and night. I told people about this. He said he was a Christian for 3 months and had memorized the entire book of Hebrews. I'm telling you, I used to sit and listen to him. God, who at sundry times and divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us through his Son, whom he's appointed heir of all things. I would have to sit and listen to him. I say have to. He'd ask me to listen to see if he got it correct, and I was learning it as he was reciting it. But God did something amazing and drew him to a hunger for the Word of God. Now, this should not be an exception. It should be the rule. Don't you think, brother?
Yeah, absolutely.
I love to see people who love the Scriptures. One of the things I think is missing in all of Christendom today, it is the glory of the person of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
We have missed that. And once you see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, which Paul speaks of in 2 Corinthians 4, it's a new life, new path, new destination, and there's just a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, and that's what was happening. Well, he went to college, and he went out there, another unusual story, but a glorious one, and while he was there, he was exposed to some teaching. He learned Greek, he learned Hebrew, and he began to read books by some that were men like Charles Hodge, Augustus Strong. I can name just dozens of them. And he was exposed, first of all, to the truth of justification by faith alone. He came back, and while he was there, after he came back, he and Dad would study. In fact, four of us, my brother Barry and Lamar and my dad and myself at times would sit down and we would do a study. And we went through the book of John. This was really interesting, Shane, because we would come to verses of Scripture that we were not able to reconcile with what we were supposed to believe. For instance, John 6:44, "No man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him." And we said, well, it says here, no man can come. He spoke of the inability of man. And Dad, I remember preaching on John chapter 15, I believe it is, where he says, "Without me you can do nothing." Absolutely nothing. Right. And that salvation is of the Lord. And because of that, it changed our thinking. Now, we didn't know anyone else other than a few books that we had read, like Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He was the one, the catalyst, I guess you would say. Lamar was all this time was digging out all of these truths, and he and Dad together. And they were a great team because Lamar was the student who studied hard. And Dad was the one who would take it, and he could put it together in a sermon. He could preach it. And so as things came, and on that particular day, Shane, of March 3rd of 1970, I was not present, but I did hear the message on recording. But what happened was, is he got up and he preached on 2 Thessalonians 2:13 and 14. He's chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. And I'm telling you, God was in that, because what happened afterward, of course, there were those that were not happy. And may I say this, I don't have any hard feelings against anyone, but they were upset, and it caused division. But I know one thing, there's no reason for someone to leave church unless there is a denial of the Word of God as being the sole rule in all that you believe. Dad had a little sign that was across this, that was in his office for years and years, probably 40 years that he was there. And I have it now over my door in my study. It says, rather than love, than money, than fame, give me truth. And I can tell you that was the basis upon why he began this new church. And I think the next Sunday after that, he went to the city hall and he was starting a new church, not because he desired to do that, but because God had birthed it, and there were a number of people that came with him, and he was their shepherd, and he was an under-shepherd, and he wanted to be faithful. So those are some of the brief but highlights of what took place. And for 30-something years, Dad was on television there in Lake Charles. People pretty well knew him. He was there for 58 years altogether.
Wow.
That's a long time to be in one city. In our day, pastors change churches like the Pony Express. You know, every 18 months there's a new pastor. But he was in the same city 58 years, and the last 40 years he was there with Heritage Baptist Church. And God has done so many wonderful things through that. There have been those that have come to Christ, those that have come to see the glory of Jesus Christ. And for that, we give him all the praise. Now, Dad would be the first one to say, don't look at me. I'm not the person. Lamar would feel the same way. But rather, you know, God is to be glorified in all this.
Well,
we're nothing.
You know, Ron, you'd mentioned the television program, and I've had a lot of people here in Lake Charles who have either come to Heritage or they've met me around town and know that I'm the pastor there.
Yes.
And it's pretty frequent for your father's name to come up, but a lot of times that's what they'll mention to me. Oh, I used to watch him on TV many years ago. And so I know that was a tremendous ministry that reached a lot of people with the gospel in this area, and maybe they never came to Heritage, maybe they did, maybe they didn't, but nevertheless, they heard the truth of God's Word through that program and through your father's ministry.
Yes. You know, I recall when we first began, I was in Lake Charles with Dad at the other church, and I was a youth pastor. We started, I was 21 years old, and we started the television program. I'd gone down there to KPLC, and I talked to him about it. In those days, it's all black and white and live, and it was a little different. But Dad felt the need, and he said, as he continued to preach on television, it was a matter of, this is a means by which they will hear and they will be without excuse. You know, one of the things is sometimes our preaching is not received, but whether it's received or not is not the issue.
Right.
It's whether God is glorified. He wants his name to be famous among all people. And so I think of Isaiah when he went out, and God told him before he went, he says, you're not going to have any converts. Boy, that would be discouraging, wouldn't it? I think even Isaiah said, you know, how long, Lord, until the desolation? I mean, there was until the very end before he went. But why did he preach? Preach to the glory of God, that his name might be lifted up. Knowing this, we know this, when Jesus is lifted up, when he is proclaimed. I know you're preaching through the book of Hebrews, brother, and I appreciate, I've heard a couple of the messages, and I appreciate how you have exalted Christ, and he is better than everything, you know. And when we have him, we have everything. We don't need anything else. And we, the world, and even many in the church, seek after these things of the earth, the earthy things. We get into materialism. We love this and we love that. Oh, my friends, we've got to forget that. We must seek him with all of our heart, and our love and affection must be for Christ and his person. And the more we get to know of him, I've just been recently going through a series on Behold Your God, Shane, that has been so searching in my own heart to see the person of Christ, but just who God is. And I've studied for a long time, but it has been refreshing once again. One of the commentators has mentioned in that, he says, sometimes we know all about God, and we know his attributes, and yet that lays dormant within our lives. We don't apply it to our lives, thinking that God is omniscient. He knows all. He knows us thoroughly. And we ought to think about those things. But, you know, I'm grateful, too, that the church has a foundation in which the glory of God is paramount. It's not built upon a person. And brother, you've had a wonderful ministry, and I am so thankful to the Lord. And this shouldn't mean anything, but in my own heart, I think Lamar and Dad would have been praising God for your coming there. And preaching the whole truth, the whole counsel of God. And that's what we must do. We must continue.
Well, I agree, and I appreciate that, Ron. I appreciate those kind words, and I love hearing the stories about the founding of our church and all the events that led into that. And, of course, as pastor, I've got to hear a lot of these stories from numerous people around town and even those who don't live here anymore. But we're moving up on a break here, so we're getting ready to take a break here in just a moment. Our guest this morning is Ron McKinney. He's pastor of Kinsey Drive Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia, a native of Lake Charles, and he is the son of Don McKinney, who was the founding pastor of Heritage Baptist Church, where I pastor, 3501 Ernest Street here in Lake Charles. And we've been talking this morning about the founding of Heritage Baptist Church. We celebrated that this week. March 3rd, 1970 was the day on which that church was founded, and it's the church that I have the privilege of pastoring today. And also talking about Don McKinney. He passed away on March 23rd, 2009, so the anniversary of that as well. And then it was just a few weeks after that, his brother Lamar McKinney, who was also very instrumental in the founding of our church and in Don's ministry, he passed away just shortly after that. And so, Ron, when we get back from the break, I want to talk just a little bit about not only the relationship between your father and Lamar, but also how things transpired in terms of when they passed away. And so, we're going to be back in just a moment. We're going to hear a word from, is it Tony Perkins, I believe? Yep. We'll hear a short word from Tony Perkins, and we'll be right back after that. Stay tuned.
An old Seattle strip club is bearing something else, souls. Hello, I'm Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council in Washington. A new store called One Cup used to be steamy, but not because of the coffee. The space, now owned by Bethany Community Church, was a dark world of prostitution and drug use, but not anymore. When the property was repossessed by the government, the church decided to turn it into a mission field. Quote, we started to dream about a coffee shop that could bless the community and a way to build relationships with heroin addicts that frequented the area, said Pastor Scott Sund. Now, the building is a hub of evangelism 7 days a week. They've started a soup kitchen, a neighborhood Bible study, and a coffee ministry. Quote, we've sandblasted the old beams, smashed the former mirrors, cut in dozens of windows, and transformed the place of darkness into a place where God is doing amazing things, end quote. And if you ask me, that's Seattle's best. For more, go to TonyPerkins.com.
And this is KELB 100.5 FM, along with our affiliated station, KEBL 105.5 FM. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to return you back to Mr. Shane Kassler in Church and State. Brother Shane, you're back on the air, sir.
All right, and welcome back. And I am sitting in today for Brother Nathan Curtis. He's on the road traveling. As they say sometimes on the big network news, they'll say, I'm filling in for so-and-so who's on special assignment. So I guess Brother Nathan maybe is on special assignment today. He's gone out of town this week, and so I'm filling in for him today. And then I'll be here again, Lord willing, on Thursday morning from 8 to 10. That's my usual day to co-host, and so I'll be hosting that day as well. I encourage you to stay tuned today at 9 a.m., top of the hour. We will have planning to have Dr. Tom Nettles on, and going to be talking to him about a recent book that he wrote on the life and theology of Charles Haddon Spurgeon, which is a name that's already come up this morning in our discussion with Ron McKinney, who is our guest here in the first hour. Ron McKinney's pastor at Kinsey Drive Baptist Church in Dalton, Georgia, a native of Lake Charles, and a very close relationship we have because his father used to be the pastor where I'm pastor now, Heritage Baptist Church. Pastor Don McKinney was the founding pastor March 3rd, 1970, until March 23rd, 2009, when he went to be with the Lord. And so, Ron, we've been talking this morning about not only the founding of Heritage and the early life of your father, Don, but also your uncle, Lamar.
Yes.
And what I'd like to do is kind of move on into some of the history of Heritage. I know you had mentioned that early on they met downtown. I believe it was the Judges' Chambers or something along those lines. And so every Sunday they would go down there, a small group of people, and they met there for a while. And I know originally they weren't known as Heritage Baptist Church. They didn't really know what to call themselves because they weren't sure what they were.
Well, it was quite unusual in the sense that you always wonder, how do I fit in? What is the identity that we have? And at that point in time, what they had come to believe is what we call the doctrines of grace.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is important to be understood, because what you believe is important to God. In fact, I will tell you this. There are some people that say they believe in Jesus, and yet they don't believe in Jesus of the Scriptures,
mm-hmm.
or they've added something to the grace of God, and if you believe that, you can be lost. In other words, believing is important, but it's important what you believe. And doctrine just simply means teaching. Everybody is a theologian. Everybody has a doctrine.
Mm.
Everybody believes something. Some people say, well, I just simply believe in Jesus. But then when you get down to it, they don't understand the Jesus of the Scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
I was teaching in John the other day, and from the second chapter there, and Jesus comes in and he upturns the tables and drives out the money changers, and you've taken God's house and made it a den of iniquity. You know, or it was just, people don't like that Jesus, but
mm-hmm.
Jesus had there's a reverence and there's a holiness of God that the people must understand. But we began to see and understand that God is holy and he's sovereign. And where it's sovereign, meaning he's sovereign in everything, both in nature and creation, but he's sovereign in salvation. I love what Jonas said. He said, salvation is of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we think about salvation, it's God's working, his drawing. Remember a preacher friend that I, years ago, he talked about a lady asking someone, he said, were you saved by accident or on purpose? That's a good question to ask.
Mm-hmm.
Was it an accident that you were saved, or was it on purpose? See, I believe God saves men purposefully.
Mm-hmm.
He came to save his people from their sins, it says in Matthew 1:21. It's particular. So we came to understand something of the character of God in terms of him being absolutely sovereign. Man is depraved. Man has no ability. His will is enslaved to his nature.
Mm-hmm.
And because he's a sinner by birth, he's a sinner because he is a part of the Adamic race. And because of Adam's sin, it's upon everyone. We are under this canopy of God's wrath. And apart from God's grace, we would never choose to come to Christ.
Mm.
Then the Bible teaches us that we're chosen, as it says in Ephesians 1, that He chose you in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated you to be adopted as children, according to what? His good pleasure. I tell you, those words captivated those that came to see the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And they were so captivated, it divided even their families.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, when you believe the truth, sometimes it's going to cause division.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody's going to receive. No, not everyone's going to love it. But I'll tell you, when you've been won over in your heart to love God and His truth more than anything else, that's what counts. Well, they met in the city hall, my understanding. Some others probably could give you more dates. I did know that they moved to a place that was the old Chamber of Commerce building. They were upstairs. I came to visit, and they were renovating it. It was interesting. I came to visit, and of course, a lot of people, the men were on shifts, and so some were able to come during the day, and we were working, and we'd stop. And then we'd get some hymns, and we'd start singing, and then we'd start praising the Lord, and Dad would teach some, and something that he'd been reading. Then we'd go back to work. It was a glorious time. And then they moved to Kirtland Street, Shane. And they were there on Kirtland Street and 7th, I believe it was.
Yeah, now that's where a lot of people remember Heritage Baptist Church from originally. I have a lot of folks who will mention to me that, oh, yeah, y'all used to be over on Kirkman Street. And so I know for many years that was a well-known location for the church.
Well, it was a thoroughfare. Kirkman Street was going to town or that direction, and a lot of people traveled that. So it was, but I do believe that, and if, when you're involved in some changes like they had there, there were going to be a lot of questions,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of misunderstanding. And some people have portrayed it in a way that is what I would call a straw dummy. You know, mm-hmm. what we believe. Some people believe we didn't believe in missions, and some people said we didn't believe in evangelism. That's mm-hmm. the furthest thing from the truth.
Right.
In fact, my view of evangelism is it heightened. When I came to understand the sovereign grace of God, I knew that when I preached, that God would use His word, will not return unto Him void. And you go out and you preach the gospel to every man. I'm not afraid to preach the gospel anywhere to anyone. In fact, we support missions and we believe in missions. And I was involved with To Every Tribe and Ministries,
mm-hmm.
and they're reaching around the world. My friend, that's the heartbeat of the Church of Jesus Christ today, is to take the gospel and proclaim it that He is the sovereign God of the universe. But then later on, I think I want to mention about his death, about Dad's death.
Mm-hmm.
He was 88 years old. And that a few weeks before he died, he was going into the pulpit. Dad had an unusual strength, agility for a man his age.
Mm-hmm.
He played competitive tennis up until his 80s. He would play younger men even, and sometimes he beat them, you know. But he preached. He loved preaching. I've never known anyone quite like him in terms of loving preaching. But he's getting ready to go into the pulpit that Sunday, and I understand that he fell.
Mm-hmm.
If I understand correctly, he used to hop up on the platform. He was about 16, 18 inches, instead of going around and taking the steps up there. But that's kind of the way he was. But he fell backwards, hit a door bar on the door there, but he ended up with a broken vertebrae.
Mm.
And that was kind of the beginning of the end. I might state, when that happened, I was leaving the next day to go to Jamaica to preach at a conference there in Jamaica, and I called him. I said, "Dad, I'm gonna cancel it." He said, "No, son, you go.
Mm-hmm.
You go. It's more important. You go mm-hmm. preach the gospel." But he didn't survive that. I was able to come back after that. I spent the last couple of weeks with him, with Jennifer and Barry and Paulette, which is Lamar, and Lamar was there, and, you know, we just were, when he died, Shane, I was very close to him, but rather than having a grief, it was as though the Spirit of God came and just blew upon me. I had joy in my heart. I was praising God. He was in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the face of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, you know, why should I grieve?
Yeah.
That's what he longed for, and looked for. And many of the people from the church, I remember they got to come see him just before he died. I remember his love for them and their love for him.
Mm-hmm.
He was their pastor. He cared for them. The Bible says, if you love me, feed my sheep. And that's what he had done. he had taught them. And but Lamar was there. And, of course, they were close. And we talked about his conversion while he was there. It was an evening we were all together, and it was just blessed. And when Dad died, Paul had got on the piano to praise the Lord. And I was thinking, you know, I've got Lamar. I used to call Dad all the time, and I'd ask him some things. Particularly, he knew the Bible so well, the English Bible. I would ask him, where is this found? He'd remember in the Old Testament. He could almost pinpoint it. But the next person I'd go to was Lamar, because I knew he was a scholar. He really studied, and he knew the Scripture. So I thought, well, I've got Lamar, and I still got my brother. And then 2 weeks, I believe it was, after Dad's death, Lamar went to the doctor and they took an x-ray. I think it was just a random x-ray of his chest, and they caught part of the liver and they noticed a spot there. To go further with the story, it was cancer. He went to MD Anderson. They decided to have surgery. And I was in shock. I was so in shock. I kept thinking, well, surely there's not anything going to happen to Lamar.
Right.
And, of course, he had his surgery, and just, I don't know exactly. He died on May 28th. By the way, Dad died on March 20th, I think, rather than the 23rd. But
oh, March 20th.
That doesn't matter. But Lamar died on May 28th, and when Paul had called me, I was so stunned, I could hardly move. I mean, the whole time I'd been praying, but I thought, he came through a surgery, you know, I thought, well, yeah, he's going to be okay. And God knew. And it's kind of, as I think back, I remember Dad and Lamar talking when Dad was dying, and Dad says, okay, Lamar, he says, I'm going to get there before you do. And he said, I'll take some notes for you when you get there. Little did he know that Lamar would be right there behind him.
Well, the interesting thing about that, Ron, is, as you mentioned, of course, there was a tremendous age difference between them.
Yes.
You said your father was 88 at that time, and Lamar was 15, 17 years younger.
Yes.
And it sounds, you know, the way you're describing it there, Lamar was not sick. And so,
was not.
With your father, it was kind of expected, obviously.
Yes.
He was in poor health and
yes.
He'd taken a fall. But with Lamar, it completely came out of the blue from a human perspective, didn't it?
Yes, sir. It was shocking. I can tell you, I felt bad that I didn't take it more seriously, you know, the possibility. But it just happened so quickly. And I was, and Paul Ed and the family asked me to come and preach his funeral as well in Tyler, Texas. And again, that was a glorious day at his funeral. God was glorified. And some of Paul Ed's family, it just thrills me because they too had come to see the Doctrines of Grace, where early on they objected. They were not pleased. And I remember her brother, who, by the way, has already gone to be with the Lord, Bucky Asanto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Bucky said when they had their anniversary, I remember he said, I'm grateful for my brother-in-law who taught me that tulip was more than just a flower. And I tell you what, that was really something.
Yes.
But he came to see the grace of God. And, you know, all of this is God's will, his pattern, and what he's worked out. And I look back now, and I can see all these detours, Shane, you know, and things that happened and took place, and see it all in the divine providence of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, God does what he does for a purpose. And we can't always, you know, I think about Lamar, his getting arrested. I mean, he could have easily spent 7 years in San Quentin.
Mm.
I mean, that was the kind of situation was. He, but God, you know, he had his purpose and plan and how he worked. And does it not give glory to God?
Mm.
I look at all of this and I say, both Dad, Lamar, Paulette, my mother, myself, my brother, my sister, all of us, all of this has happened, and God has used it in his pattern to bring us to the glory of God and to praise him. And so I'm just grateful for the, I'm grateful for grace, Shane.
Yes.
I say all the time to people, grace, grace, grace. It's grace upon grace. God is so merciful to us.
Ron, I wonder if you know, as you think about your father's life and ministry, and Lamar's life and ministry, and
yes,
and I wonder now that you've had 5-6 years of reflection upon that since they've gone on to be with the Lord, it seems to me that their lives were very much linked during this life. I mean, as you'd mentioned, your father going out to California and pleading with the judge, and the judge puts Lamar in his custody, and then the dramatic conversion. You've mentioned to me before that Lamar's conversion was perhaps the most dramatic you've ever witnessed.
Yes.
And so they were linked in life. Your father had tremendous influence over Lamar, and then later on, Lamar had influence over your father in terms of some of the doctrine that he had learned and that they had shared together through Bible study. But as you think back now upon 5 or 6 years of reflection in terms of their passing. They were linked in life, and from a divine perspective, if you were to try to analyze this, it seems as though, in a sense, they were also linked in death, which is to say, your father's work was done, and it's amazing that just a few weeks after that, according to God's providence, Lamar's work was done, and that they both entered heaven so close to each other in terms of time frame.
You know, it is an unusual thing, I think. And out of the two brothers, God used them in various ways, in different ways, and yet they had the same goal. And eventually, you know, all of this came together, and when their love for each other was, of course, a brotherly love, but they did not know each other. Lamar was almost like a son. I've always considered him as my older brother, because he lived with us several years before he went to California to study. And so, but their relationship was so close in terms of how they would talk about various doctrines they were studying at the same time. And see, Lamar was so tenacious. He would seek it out. And he had a tremendous influence on the church there in Tyler, Texas. He had a Bible class, and people would come. I mean, those people loved his teaching and loved his ministry there, and he was very effective. But it was, and I look at it from this way, you know, God has our lives. It's like a book, you know. There's a beginning, there's a middle, and there's an end. And when it has purpose and the purpose is done, he closes the book. You think about men like David Brainerd, died at 29, and Robert Murray McShane was 29 when he died. They had powerful ministries, but they didn't live very long.
Right.
They did their work that God had them to do, and it was finished. It was Count Zinzendorf, I believe, that said this, Shane. I believe he says, preach the gospel. Die. What he means, it's not me.
Mm-hmm.
It's God that gets the glory.
Well, and I believe there's one more line to that famous quote, preach the gospel, die.
I remember it. Give it to me.
Preach the gospel, die, and be forgotten.
And be forgotten. That's what I was. I couldn't remember it at that moment, but I. Isn't that true, though?
Yeah.
That's what we ought to have in view, to finish what we're doing. God finishes, it's over, go, and what's more important than anything else? The glory of God from
right.
you. I'm nothing. God says, I must decrease.
Well, and that's exactly, you know, we're going to be talking with Dr. Nettles about Spurgeon here in the second hour, and I remember a story from the life of Spurgeon. Early in his life, of course, he was a tremendous preacher, and the Lord brought many conversions through his ministry. But I remember Spurgeon giving testimony that it was as though he heard the Lord say to him early in life, "Seekest thou great things for thyself? Seekest them not." And so his life was focused upon the Lord and glorifying the Lord, and the Lord used him in a powerful and a mighty way. And that's how. That's how the Lord works. It's not to glorify ourselves, and if we seek our own glory, the more we drag glory to ourselves, the less the light shines upon the Lord. And that's what we want to do with our ministries and our preaching, and all that we do is to shine light upon the Lord.
Tom Nettles, I said hello, please.
I will certainly do that.
I've known him for a long time. He was at Southwestern. He was at Mississippi College before. And was in school there, and I think he was there my last year that I was in school. He was a freshman, but tell him I said hello, please.
Well, I'll do that. And Ron, we've got it looks like we got about 3 or 4 minutes left here before we go off the air for this segment, and I thought maybe I would give that time to you, and just kind of maybe a closing question I would have for you is in terms of maybe your father and Lamar, for that matter, in terms of their ministry, what are some perhaps enduring characteristics? I know, I'll give you an example. Martin Lloyd-Jones, once they asked his wife, what does she remember most about his ministry? And she said, well, first of all, I would say he was a man of prayer and he was an evangelist. And so if you were to be asked that question, be it Don McKinney, Lamar McKinney, what is it about them that you would remember most? Maybe what is it that you miss the most? What is it about them that are really hallmarks of their life and ministry?
I think the most important thing that I remember about Dad is his devotion to Christ. I went over one time when I was a kid, about 7 or 8, to get my dad to come to home to eat. And I went in and he was in prayer in his study. And he was on his face. Crying out to God. He was weeping. He was calling upon God, and he was praying for those within the church. And I sat there as a boy at the door. I wouldn't dare open it because he was praying to God. That marked me. I saw that in his life. And then when he came to the point, whether it would be his position, his place within, you know, what people thought of him, he chose to go with the truth. He forsook everything else. He lost his income, lost his home, he lost all kinds of things, which are meaningless as far as this, you know, we're talking about. But at the time, he chose truth and God over everything else. It affected all of his family. Lamar was a man, too, that once he came to understand the grace of God, he was tenacious. When people would object and dislike it, he was consistent. And then over a period of years, to see some of them come back and say, this is true. This gives glory to God.
Mm-hmm.
I admire that, and I give thanks to God that I had those men to look to. But Lamar knew the scriptures, and he sought it out. He was diligent. When it says, search the scriptures to see if this be so, that was Lamar. And for their contribution to my life is that I saw that in them. I've fallen short, but I still have that goal that I saw that they had placed of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Well, Ron, I appreciate you for being with us this morning. Looks like we're about out of time, but it's been a real blessing to visit with you and just talk more about...
Brother, I love you, and I love the people there in Heritage Baptist Church. And I thank you for having me come on.
Well, thanks for being on with us, and I look forward to talking to you later.
Yes,
and,
sir.
Thanks so much for joining us this morning. It's been a great conversation. And, Ron, you take care.
Bless you, brother.
Bye-bye. All right. So everyone would stay tuned. We'll be back in just a few moments with our guest for the second hour, Dr. Tom Nettles. Stay tuned.
You've been listening to the first segment of Church and State. Heard at this time every weekday, Monday through Friday on KELB 100.5 FM. Your host has been Nathan Curtis. This program will continue in a moment.